Hare Krishna. Okay, here is a series of questions. Again, interesting questions, like yesterday. Not from the same person, that'll be obvious, but someone who also wants to remain anonymous. But before I get into those questions, I'd just like to say that this question was posed on the 2nd of June, at the beginning of this month, which means that there are many questions in 2013 and 2012 that I haven't answered. So in other words, I've deleted those questions. If you haven't heard your question posed that you put in during those years, then I request, if it's still valid, if it's not a time-bound question, then please send it again and I'll try to answer it. The reason that I did that is because podcast is more than just about answering questions. It's about conversations, lectures, and of course myself, psychologically, to spend all my time talking to a microphone is not the most dynamic or exciting thing. So I also require a certain degree of change. Another reason for erasing those questions is that some of them were really time-bound and circumstantial. Someone is asking a question, what should I do now in this circumstance? And that answer was required a certain time to make it relevant. So I didn't answer that. Plus now I've got more questions from 2014 that are time-bound. If I don't answer those, if I wait another 2 years to get around to those, they'll also become irrelevant. So I'm skipping forward, and once again, please, if you have questions, all your questions are important to me, but it's just hard for me to answer them all. If you have other questions that you want to answer, then please resend them in again. Now, back to anonymous number two, or at least from yesterday was anonymous number one. Here's anonymous number two. Is it mandatory for householders to beget children? Are there circumstances other than medical under which it is permissible not to beget children? If grihasthas think that they can, first of all, follow the regulative principles, and if they satisfied like that emotionally, that they think that this is a suitable a household arrangement for them, and obviously they have such circumstances that their services fully satisfy them, as Srila Prabhupada would sometimes say to some ladies, make Krishna your husband. So if they can make the deities, either their home deities or the temple deities, their children, then yes, but it's something that has to be on mutual agreement. It isn't something that either one or the other members of the household can impose upon the other. Otherwise, it's not fair. And for that reason, it's something that's actually best discussed before marriage. It should be very clear to devotees who are wanting to get married that they're willing to have this type of marriage because it's especially not every woman who's going to want to be in a childless family, in a childless marriage. So that should be well discussed and documented, agreed upon, witnessed, so that there's no disagreement, conflict, and divorce as a result of that later on. And of course, Prabhupada then would say, well, if you're not going to have children, which means that you're not even going to have sex life, then ultimately it's a very platonic arrangement. So why not just stay brahmachari or brahmacharini? Of course, that requires very strong spiritual standards, and it requires a high level of emotional stability, but that's also an alternative. Okay, but now we're talking about grihastha life, so let's go on to the next question. How does one understand the fear of having a child in this increasingly twisted and dangerous world? there seems to be less and less control that a parent has as to what their child would be exposed to through association, the internet, karmi schools, universities, etc. Well, of course, Srila Prabhupada's answer to this was, his answer to schools was Gurukul. His answer to unlimited access to all kinds of twisted and contaminated thought processes and lifestyle was that they have a devotional community in which they live, and for that reason the ideal circumstance was our farms, where children can be protected, they can live in a favorable atmosphere, and they can be raised in an objective way, where they can be trained to philosophically see the world around them before they're excessively exposed to it. His question is, what if you cannot send Krishna conscious school in Gurukul? Then the only way to balance that off is to have a super high level of Krishna consciousness in the home, wonderful relationships with children, so that whatever association children get outside the home is really offset by what they get inside the home, and try to find some kind of more neutral educational institutions that are more liberal, open to religious thought, may even be vegetarian, and don't impose mandatory materialistic views on children. Next question, should one beget a child if they are not confident of their own ability to deliver the child back to Godhead? Well, of course, the answer to that, according to Maharaj Rishabhdev and Srila Prabhupada's repeated answer to the question, is no. What does it mean to deliver a child back to Godhead? It may not mean that from A to Z, it's the responsibility of the parent. Others also play a role, Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru. But at least the parent should be able to offer the type of facilities that give the child a chance to be Krishna conscious, to come to the stage of associating with Vaishnavas, accepting a spiritual master, committing himself as an adult or a young adult to Krishna consciousness. So those types of facilities, as we discussed before, ideally Gurukula, farm community, if not that, a very, very stable, loving, Krishna conscious home atmosphere. In other words, one should really give that child a chance to fulfill the responsibility of a parent. That means he becomes a parent guru. The parent doesn't have to fulfill the responsibility of the Diksha Guru, or perhaps later other Shiksha Gurus, or even to fulfill the duty of a Vaishnav community, but he has to be able to train the devotees, so the children, so that they will access a Diksha Guru, that they are living within a Vaishnav community and can take the association of other Vaishnavas. And the last question is, if one feels apprehensive to beget a child, then to just edit this, you said, should one adopt a child or can one adopt a child? Sure, one can adopt a child. Once again, it's something that both husband and wife need to be okay about, that they don't have their own biological offspring. There are so many children around the world who are really in want of what to speak of a good family atmosphere, food, clothing, clean surroundings, a comfortable home, and they're deprived of that for one reason or another. I've suggested that due to different circumstances to householders that they consider that. But if it's not for biological and health reasons that one is unable to have their own children, in other words, one can, then once again, if for the sake of already or delivering an already born child, then it has to be with the mutual consent of a husband and wife. But it's a valuable service, especially here. He's given the example that the Mr. Anonymous's question, or he considers that his samskars are not very good, and therefore children may also not be very good. I can't comment on that. Obviously, adopting children from non-devotional background will also mean that there's not ideal samskars. Another alternative, if there's such a thing, to adopt someone from a good samskar background, or at least a better samskar background. In any case, adoption is certainly an option, and it's something that Vaishnavas, Vaishnavis could also consider. And these are the answers to today's topic, and we'll continue on with other questions tomorrow, sent in the beginning of June. Jai Gopal Bas, Oros Edina, Radha Govinda Das, and so on. Hare Krishna.